Well, we've got our special guest us this morning. We love Dr. Kathy, and we're glad she's with us. Good morning.
Good morning, Janet and Mark. How are you?
Doing great. How about you?
Oh, it's good. It's always good when the sun is shining. It makes a better morning.
Well, it sure does.
It definitely is. It's going to be pretty pleasant, I think, this morning. We're starting out, you know, kind of cool, but it warms up as the day goes on. So that's a good thing. So this morning we want to talk about high blood pressure. Well, I want to talk about it. Mark doesn't want to talk about it, but you know, that's something that I've always tried to keep an eye on. But I remember when my ex-husband was like in his late 20s. And he started coming home every day with these just horrible headaches every day. And I said, yeah, that's not normal to do that. And it was high blood pressure.
Yep. That can happen. Most people with high blood pressure are diagnosed between the ages of 25 and 55. So late 20s is not uncommon.
Okay.
Most people with high blood pressure, however, do not have symptoms. And that's why they call it the, quote, silent killer, unquote. So, you know, if you have high blood pressure, you usually won't know it.
Wow.
Getting your blood pressure checked periodically at, you know, a health fair when we ever get back to those, or, you know, at your local primary care provider's clinic when you go in for whatever reason or checkup or a problem. Sometimes you can get it checked at your church. There'll be a parish nurse or, you know, someone who might be checking blood pressures periodically. Take the opportunity to do so.
So what do you think about the little,
what
do you think about the little machines in the pharmacies and things? How accurate are those?
You know, I think they're getting better. For a while, I didn't trust them at all. But I think the automated machines now have entered the age of probably more accuracy. The ones people can purchase for home use are pretty, you know, they're about $45. I think Omron is one good brand. I always like to double check them. So I usually tell my patients, hey, bring it in next time you're coming in for whatever reason to the clinic. And we'll check your machine and then we'll listen to your blood pressure and we'll compare the readings. If they're fairly close, then we can trust it and you can use it. Yeah. It's always good to have more readings at home and not just trust the one reading at the clinic when you're upset or you don't like your doctor and you know, you're kind of stressed.
Or you had three cups of coffee before you got there.
Three cups of coffee, only three, huh, Mark? Wow.
I don't let him have caffeine.
No, I can't drink coffee until after the show.
Dangerous. Yes. We don't let him have that. That's not good. So high blood pressure, like you were saying, it's good to get average readings. You want to know, you know, what is an average, not just when, like you said, when you're at the doctor. Now sometimes those numbers blurt out and people don't even know what they mean. Like sometimes you're at the office and they're like, oh, it's da 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 over da da da, and I go by the sound of their voice. Oh, okay, they seem happy. Yeah, so that's good.
That's a good number, isn't it?
Yeah, the top number is called the systolic, and that is the pressure which your heart is pumping blood out into the arteries. That's the flow of blood out into the body. And the diastolic is the bottom number, and that's the relaxation phase when the ventricle is not pumping blood out into the body, and the vessels are just kind of holding a certain amount of pressure to keep the blood flowing. That diastolic number is typically higher in younger people, and as we age, the compliance of our arteries drops, and so the diastolic reading lowers. So the systolic number is also, the first one is also important, and that one is more typically elevated in older people. So, but either one of them is important. So if you're 30 years old and your blood pressure is 140 over 95, they're both elevated. Generally speaking, we'd like it to be 130 over 80 or less.
Huh. Okay. So as you're looking, you're saying that many times blood pressure is called the silent killer because people don't show symptoms. Are there certain factors that would make somebody more likely to be concerned about high blood pressure?
Absolutely. I think one thing is family history. If you know both your parents or one of your parents and all your grandparents had hypertension, high blood pressure, you may be genetically set up for the same. So you might want to get that checked more often. if you are overweight or gaining weight, that can add to high blood pressure. The older we get, the more likely you're going to have high blood pressure. High sodium diet. And a lot of people don't realize the amount of salt that's in their food. Food that's just, you know, picked right off the stalk or, you know, unadulterated with any kind of sauces is probably pretty low in sodium. But when you buy things that are, you know, in sauces or in cans that have salt added or processed and frozen so that you just take them from your freezer to your microwave to your table, mm-hmm. pay attention to those nutrition facts labels and look at the sodium content. It'll open your eyes. I laughed one time a while ago. I got a thing of Progresso soup, not to pick on Progresso. All the soups are terrible. You know, I thought, oh, this isn't too bad. It says like 750 milligrams of sodium. And then I realized they said per serving. And you know how many servings they think are in that can? Mm. 2.5.
Right.
So there was like 1,800 milligrams of sodium in that can, and I was going to eat the whole thing. Well, that's nearly my entire day's worth of sodium in a can. So you have to be careful with that. Other things that will put people at high risk would be like excessive alcohol consumption. Mm-hmm. And that may be a whole other program, guys, because alcohol consumption in America is an issue. People don't have a clue what a portion is and how much is healthy. Physical inactivity, if people, you know, are just sitting around most of the time, they don't do active exercise, they're at higher risk for high blood pressure. And patients with sleep apnea, their blood pressure is often elevated. Their bodies are incredibly stressed from the poor night's sleep. One last thing to keep in mind, Black patients tend to have high blood pressure earlier in life.
Right.
The numbers are usually higher. And it's, they have more target organ damage, which I can explain if you'd like.
Well, I want to go back to the sodium thing just real quick. So low sodium, when it states it on the can or the whatever bottle, is that even within the numbers that we should be dealing with?
Sometimes if you pay attention, it's lower.
Right.
It'll say 33% lower. Well, if it's, you know, astronomical to begin with, 33% isn't enough lowering, right? So you have to actually turn the can or jar or box around and actually read those nutrition facts. First of all, acquaint yourself with what they think a portion size is, because in America, we supersize everything and we think it's just all for me, right? So there's more servings in that container than you think. Hmm. So do the math. And then look at how much sodium per serving, and then figure out how much of that package you're going to eat, and then figure that out. You really don't want more than 2 to 3 grams of sodium a day if you can get away with it. And as I said, one can of soup could do a lot of damage.
Sure.
That. You've got the rest of your day to eat the rest of your food. So.
Sure.
My sister used to buy the low sodium V8 juice, and then she would salt it herself. I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, well, I'm controlling it this way. Oh, okay, I get it. Oh, she's
That's
precious. Anyway, so going back to blood pressure and race, I have had friends who were quite young who not only have suffered from high blood pressure, but one person in particular that comes to mind actually suffered a stroke at a very early age. Why is that?
Well, when your blood vessels are enduring very high pressure, you know, over time, that can do damage to the vessel walls. Strokes, heart attacks, kidney damage are three of the major issues of downstream damage from long-term hypertension. Mm-hmm. And because most people don't feel their blood pressure is high, and it can be high even in your teens already, but usually 20s, 30s, 40s, if you're not paying attention and you're just living your life and raising your kids and going to work and whatever, and your blood pressure's been high for 15, 20 years and you didn't know it, you can end up having a stroke or a heart attack. Or your kidneys can be so damaged that by the time you get a blood test, they're already at stage 3 or 4.
Wow.
You know, you just had no idea that your blood vessels were being battered for so long. So, the presenting symptom, unfortunately, can be a stroke. And there's different types of strokes. Some people actually bust the blood vessel and hemorrhage. Mm-hmm. Others just have major clots because of the damage to the interior of the blood vessel.
So we talk about the risk factors that you've reviewed, but there are also some things that are kind of outside factors mm-hmm. that can impact our blood pressure that we may not even be aware of.
True. A lot of them have to do with medications and even supplements. So patients should be careful if they're loading up on the decongestants. We're entering allergy season here, mm-hmm. and you know a lot of people will get their Claritin D or their Allegra D, you know, over the counter. The D is a decongestant, and that can raise your blood pressure. And if you already have high readings that you're not aware of, and then you add fuel to the fire, those blood pressure readings can go up. Things like steroids. You know, sometimes people end up with a dose of steroids for asthma or like poison ivy or something. They'll mm-hmm. raise your blood pressure. Even simple things like ibuprofen or Aleve. People will down those, you know, when they injure themselves or for headaches or whatever, and those drugs will raise your blood pressure. Some people purchase, you know, weight loss medications, or they'll get prescriptions for those. They can raise blood pressure. Caffeine, by the way. Sorry, back to you, Mark. Caffeine.
Well, I do decaf.
Yeah, he does. Uh-huh. He does a good job.
Good job. The stimulants in the caffeine. And caffeine comes in all kinds of ways. Dr.
Sure.
Pepper, for example, or Coca-Cola, you know, mm-hmm. tea, chocolate, coffee, etc. Now, if people are abusing drugs like cocaine, those mm-hmm. will raise your blood pressure. And sometimes a presenting symptom in the emergency room, you'll see a young person come in and they've had a stroke. They had used cocaine mm-hmm. and raised their blood pressure so high.
Wow.
Birth control pills are another one that we are very, very careful on. The higher the estrogen dose in the birth control pill, the more likely the blood pressure can go up. So we always pay close attention to that.
Can we maybe at a different date, we can't open this can of worms, but I would like to talk about the stress levels that we all deal with and how that affects our blood pressure is just probably for one segment all by itself.
Well, and not just blood pressure. Stress level impacts so many things.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll have to do that.
Sure.
Of course, the thing that you always tell us, and this is what we want to leave folks with always, is the importance of finding yourself a healthcare provider that you're really comfortable with and that you can have these conversations with.
I'm passionate about this. So many patients that I have seen will look at me after our little interview together and say, no one's ever asked me those questions. And I know that time constraints are a huge deal, but medicine has become this mill where people are in and out in 17 minutes. Mm. And if 10 of them are sitting there waiting for the doctor or provider to get into the room, you've wasted a lot of time, right?
Sure.
So if you can't have those conversations, you can't have excellent care. We are partners in healthcare. You bring information as a patient to the table that I can't possibly know. How you feel, your symptoms, what your life is like, what time do you have to exercise, you know, what is your budget like? Can you even buy fresh vegetables? And I bring information to the table because I happen to go to medical school and train, and you didn't do that. So we come together as a partnership. And so for me, that's the only way to take care of patients. And I think patients should be looking for the kind of provider that actually listens to them, cares about their life, so that they understand that they can't just give them dictates. Hey, exercise more, stop smoking, quit drinking so much, and back off on the caffeine, and oh, here's a prescription, bye, see ya.
Right.
That's not going to work, right?
Well, we always appreciate your insight into topics such as these. If you came in late on the conversation, you'll be able to catch everything on our SoundCloud, and we'll have it posted on our social media as well, The Morning Jam on VTRN. Dr. Kathy, thanks for joining us today for our Medical Monday. Blood pressure, it's out there. Do you know what yours is? It's important to know. So we'll talk to you again next Monday. Thanks for joining us.
It's always great to talk with you guys. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye. So, Janet, we'll have to do the one on stress, because a good friend of mine had surgery November, and he had open heart surgery, and a lot of it was due to stress.
Yeah, not managing it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that'll kill you, literally.
Yeah, so. Don't sweat the small stuff, folks.
Yeah, that's
choose your battles wisely. Or as my Mark says, is that a skunk really worth shooting? Even though they're trying to shoot Pepe Le Pew now,
isn't that
they're trying to shut him down.
The Morning Jam with Janet Rose and Mark Lamb.